I see. All right.
Ms. Shreve, you're muted.
Sorry, I'm just sitting here talking to myself. It looks like we are back from executive session. I think we're just missing Dr. Flowers and Dr. Gill.
I am here.
Okay, perfect. Dr. Gill, are you here? Dr. Bohansky? There's Dr. Gill. And Dr. Bohansky. I think he was he calling in?
Yes, he was.
That takes a minute to push in all the numbers.
He's using his Zoom. It's just that he's not using his video.
Oh, Dr. Bohansky?
He hasn't come back to the computer.
Oh. Dr. Bob? I don't see his mute on anymore. Dr. Bob? Okay, I think I'm gonna go ahead and start. Is Dr. Osham, are you now with us?
Dr. Osham is muted.
All right. His attorney, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear. I can hear everybody now. Can everybody hear me now?
Yes. So is Dr. Osham with us now?
Yes, I am.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right. We're glad you could join us. I think the board has some very serious concerns about you're not being responsive to the notifications that we sent out, and we had some questions we wanted to follow up with. So I'll give you a minute if you'd like to make any opening comments.
I think my attorney could do that for me. I'm a little concerned because I just told a patient who was my first time seeing him and had suicidal ideation. I had to get off because there was an emergency. So I'll let you, I'm not too happy about that.
You know what, Dr. Olshan, if you need to see a patient who has suicidal ideation, that's your responsibility. The board was ready to proceed in your absence. You were represented by counsel, so please don't attribute your willingness.
Who are you? Who are you?
My name is Jean Galvin, and I'm the board's attorney. And I would not appreciate you attributing your client's suicidal ideations and having them have you end the session because of this board proceeding.
No, I was trying to state, I rearranged the appointment with him. I'm just trying to say, when I looked at the notice, I saw that in all likelihood that I would be seen in the morning. I had made appointments this afternoon. I didn't realize that starting at 9 o'clock that I would never be seen. And hopefully you see my point of view that I had scheduled some appointments. I'll let my attorney, I don't know where he went to now. He's gone.
Well, Dr. Osham, we have some questions. We do have some questions for you.
Yeah, well, I'd like to find out where my attorney went because I've been paying him $550 an hour all morning to sit with me. But he's off the screen now.
He's still there.
Yeah, he's.
I don't mean to be obstructive, but I've been sitting basically for all these hours paying an attorney, and now he's gone off the screen.
Dr. Osham, my name's Tamara Shreve. I'm the chair.
Can everybody hear me? Is it just that you can't see me?
I can't see you, but we can hear you.
Okay. I'm sorry. I don't know what
check
what happened.
Video. On the bottom left, do you see a little video camera? It says stop video. Move your cursor. So we're going to proceed. Your attorney is on. You can hear this. So we're glad you're with us today. We want to chat with you about what has occurred. At the CSC meeting, the Complaint Screening Committee, you had sent in an email basically saying that you hadn't provided the notes to us regarding the complaint, and then you made a comment about the handwriting was bad or, be hard to decipher anyways, and now what we have is typewritten notes. So can you please, can you explain the differentials there?
You know what? I gotta buzz in here just for a second. I thought this was more about finding out other alternatives other to either a suspension or a revocation. I mean, had we known that this was going to be an evidentiary hearing, we would have prepared in a different way, and Neil would definitely be sitting next to me instead of, you know.
Let me just explain, I guess maybe I'll speak as the chair, is what my point of view is it's hard to have a negotiation, it's hard to have a discussion about what we need to do unless I understand, I'll speak just for me, what happened? What's the situation? We've been asking for this for a long time. We've notified the doctor several times. And so before I can, you know, we made a decision, we sent a notice, surrender your license. And so what we're trying to understand here is what exactly occurred. It's hard for me to make any decision or have an intelligible discussion if I don't know what it is I'm talking about. The issue isn't, hey, I just read this and I want a new negotiation. We have to know what it is that the situation was.
Well, then Dr. Olshan is here. I'd like the opportunity to explain. I mean, otherwise, why am I here? I mean, you know, he has the ability to hire an attorney to represent him, to speak for him. If I say something that he disagrees with, I'm going to ask that he, you know, chime in.
Okay, so I'm clear, I appreciate that. You'd like to respond to all of our questions.
Yes, I mean, otherwise there's no point in him having retained counsel or being represented by anybody.
You're broken up a little bit. I didn't get your statement.
Can you hear me now? Yep. Oh boy.
No, it could be too. Sometimes it's the Wi-Fi. So now we can hear you now. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. So are there any questions for Dr. Osha to his attorney? All right. Hearing none. All right. I'm sorry. Did someone say Dr. Chair, is that you?
Yes. I can maybe put out the two questions I had before, and if they'd like to respond, great. If not, we'll move on.
Okay, go ahead.
But within the documentation received, there appear to be some inconsistencies. One is that due to medical issues and a heavy patient load, he was unable to meet with us all the other times. Medical issues came up and so on that precluded that. On the other hand, within the same time frame, he was able to successfully handle 300 cases without any trouble. And so I'm confused as how he could be so available for patient care but not able to respond to subpoenas and hearings and so on.
Okay, so if I cut out, I'm leaning into it as I'm leaning into the iPad as much as possible. And if I cut out, please, somebody say something.
We will.
Okay, so in terms of, part of the question ties into evidence of medical issues. I didn't realize that this would be that kind of hearing, that he would have to provide the evidence of, you know, his doctor's appointments and, you know, the medical issues that he had. I mean, if that's necessary, there's no issue in providing those.
Basically it sounds as if you're saying, you're not going to answer the question. So I'm not sure.
I'm definitely, it's not just a yes, no.
You're not ready. There's a reason you'd like another hearing. We've had a bunch of them. They've been ignored.
Have to jump in right now. I just can't.
No, hold on.
Okay. No. I've been practicing for 45 years. This is the first complaint I've had in 45 years.
Neil,
you've misstated several things.
Ben, one please, of the things
that, no, well, let me finish, please. Can I talk?
Hey, I'm the chairperson. So if you would like to, Dr. Osham, if you would like to answer Dr. Flowers' question.
I'll let my attorney handle this because I have an explanation for all that, but obviously this gentleman is not willing to hear it because he's already made up his mind, as he just said.
All right. And Dr. Flowers, what was your second question?
Well, they're really related. One is that he said that he's able to appropriately handle, I believe it was 200 cases. He's able to do that competently, but he was unable to respond to our request for information and for appearances. So I'm confused about the inconsistency of ability to do clinical work, but inability to respond to us. And then also confused as to, you know, for the complaint screening committee, he sent us a typewritten summary of client notes that he had and said that he was giving summary in writing in print because his notes were hard to read, and yet we received records recently that were typewritten, and so I'm not really sure if we have the original records.
Okay, so his illness did present, his physical illness, and let me just talk about that. It's a physical, it wasn't a mental health illness or anything of that sort. He had, that doesn't reflect on his competency at all. It's just between the and the doctor's appointments and the just there was just a lot of downtime. To talk about, you know, well, how was he able to still do other things, and not this, with his physical challenges, with his medical challenges, and somebody, doctor, I'm not sure if it was you, but somebody said, well, do we have any evidence of that? I don't believe that everything, I don't believe that anything was, you know, was provided. I think originally something was provided by Dr. Olshan, just some x-rays, but not the whole thing, but they can be, I didn't think this was this kind of hearing, and they were never asked. No one said, hey, look, we don't, you know, we need to challenge whether or not, you know, you went to the doctor or what was going on. We need proof of the medical. Had I known that, it would have been provided to everybody here today. But despite the physical challenges and the pain that he was in and all that other stuff, there's only so much that an individual can do, and he had to prioritize. He prioritized his patients and his contract with the county first, and then everything else, including some aspects of his personal life, just kind of went away. In terms of the 300 the mental health evaluations that he did over this course of time, those were pursuant to a county contract that he had. He was able to find more time with that because he cut his private practice, given the fact that, you know, he had some of these limitations in time due to the illness. He cut that by more than half, but he was still able to get out there and handle the court, the whatever the court required from him. And there's never been an issue. In terms of any kind of patient safety, any kind of patient safety concerns, there has not been an issue moving forward with any of the patients. And yes, he should have, you know, despite the pain, despite the limitations, all that kind of stuff, he should have made this more of a priority than he did. And and we understand that. And I said that in my letter. Unfortunately, he prioritized, you know, the contracts and the patients first, then his private practice more than half, and then he took care of that. But at the end of the day, it was just all that he could do just to kind of keep up. He's past it now, and obviously the court hasn't complained. It's not just up to any patient to complain. It's also, if they weren't getting a product, a good work product, the court would have complained too, but the court did not. And that's because he was able to keep up. Other things fell by the wayside, and unfortunately, this was one of them. He didn't mean to be disrespectful in that regard. There was an aspect that he thought that once he took care of what the patient, SL in this case, wanted, that eventually that this thing would just, you know, just die off. And not having been through these kind of proceedings before, oh, okay, the concern was with the patient. I've taken care of the patient's concern. This thing should die off. And then it was given a lower priority. And for that, he's apologetic. He's remorseful. And that is, but that in and of itself shouldn't not doing everything to the T that the board wanted him shouldn't by in and of itself negate somebody or cancel out somebody's license to practice after 45 years. He still has so many good years left. And he still has so much good that he has done for the psychology, the community. I mean, he sought after just because the fact that of his age, you know, elder patients want to have somebody that they can speak to, that they can more relate to in their age group. Dr. Olshan provides for that, and he will continue to do so. He doesn't want. He's willing to moving forward. He this is a priority. He's willing to make this whatever it takes, whatever hoops he has to jump through. But we just ask for no client. I'm sorry, no revocation or suspension of the license.
Thank you for your comments. Any other questions for the doctor? Hearing none, let's move into deliberation.
I still didn't hear an answer to why we were initially told documents were handwritten and now we have typed versions. Where are the originals?
Okay, I believe that the concern was, and I've seen Neil, Dr. Olshan's, I keep calling him that, no disrespect, Dr. Olshan, but I've seen Dr. Olshan's notes, and they're sometimes they're just, you know, I thought I had bad handwriting. I think I had bad handwriting enough to be a doctor myself, but his is even worse than mine, and it's all over the place. I think he reduced it to a typewritten format after having reviewed it and then sent it to the board that way out of just sheer convenience. If you want, if there's an issue about wanting the originals, the original handwritten stuff, you know, that can happen too, just as well as can the record of every time he went to the doctor and every time the doctor told him X, Y, and Z that he needs to do this, that, or the other thing, or his surgeries or anything like that. This isn't an attempt to hide the ball at all. And I'm sorry you can't see me because I feel bad about that. But
we can hear you fine, though. We appreciate that. Are there any further questions? Dr. Gill, you're on mute.
No, yeah. I don't have any questions.
Oh, okay. I thought I saw you motion to me. All right. I hearing no more questions. Then I'd like to just ask the committee what their thoughts are and if they have any suggestions or emotions.
This is Dr. Malott. I just want to kind of summarize the case. There's two real things. You know, the initial complaint was based on some request that wasn't met. You know, he was supposed to submit tapes to a client and he never got it and the client complained. So that was the initial complaint that came. Since then, we're really dealing with I don't know if he ever got a response on the tapes, you know, and that specific issue related to the complaint. What we've started dealing with is his kind of reaction and non-compliance with the requests that have been made. And kind of, we're not paying attention to the original complaint because he's not been responsive. He hasn't shown up to meetings. Different requests have been made. And so we have like two different issues. It's kind of Dr. Olson's, behavior and conduct with the board. And then the original complaint, I don't know if the original complaint has even been addressed, you know, and has he provided the client with that? I think I would like to get an answer to that.
He has. He has. And that was it. And I don't mean to be disrespectful by interrupting. He has. And I if I didn't mention it, I thought I mentioned it towards the beginning, but if I didn't,
I missed it.
He has not. The client himself got a call from an administrative member of the board, and the client was able to verify the fact that he did receive the case.
In there, so. Yes. Okay. But so really now what we are working on is all these, you know, his manner of interacting with the board. And as opposed
to... I guess I really want to say something. I apologize to the board. I should not have jumped on people. It is my fault. The first certified letter I did not receive.
I got it. I mean, you know, I think let's save those for the conclusion. I mean, you know, let's save the stuff for the conclusion, and it's also in the letter.
Dr. Millat, were you done?
As I said, I'm thinking really the issues that we are working in. One is the issue of the notes. I think we would need to see a copy of the original, and you know, even if the writing is bad, just to verify we have the whole record. And the second issue is kind of his conduct before the board. So,
right. And I think, you know, I think what I also is, you know, the first issue was a lack of response, right, to the client. The client had asked for the tapes, or there supposed to be some tapes. There was lack of response, and that's what promoted the original complaint. Well, here we are. We almost have the same complaint. It's a lack of response, right? Of our inquiries of several times, and even a subpoena. So I can, you know, I think there's a concern, and it's basically the same thing as your original complaint was. Any other comments?
Dr. Meyer. I would completely agree with Madam Chairperson's connection between the two. It's the same issue of not following through, lack of response. Ms. Michelson, did we get confirmation from SL that he received everything and it was all resolved?
Yes, SL did email me and indicate that he had received the tapes.
Thank you.
Are there any more comments from the board or any thoughts or recommendations?
Are we in deliberations then?
Yes, we're in deliberations, yes. Well, it's not a hearing. It's just now we're at a point where we're talking. Oh,
okay. Well, I'm kind of tired of all the waiting and all that we've done. I would like to still proceed to a formal hearing and recommend revocation. Certainly if the licensee and his attorney can state what's going on there and show fitness for working and so on, fine. I guess they would give us return with a recommendation to us for further consideration. But I really don't want to be delayed and act as if today's the complaint screening committee. That was 9 months ago.
Okay, I need to say something.
Sir, this is not a time to say anything at this point. This is the board is deliberating, so we have a comment.
Well, I would hope the board would read my letters, please.
We have read
them.
Okay, and sir, just so you know, we did receive all the documentation, and the board has read.
It was being misstated. So I don't get a chance to. He just misstated it. I didn't receive the complaint from the patient. It went to a spam file, and I brought out to the patient, or to you folks, the patient had my home phone number, had my cell number, and I wanted to know, isn't anybody curious why this individual never tried to call me, never texted me, or never called my wife? He admitted he had her number. And when I brought that up to him, and I said, can I just ask you, after he had the recordings, I said, why didn't you just call me or text me? He said, don't ever talk to me again. Now, I said that from the beginning,
Madam Chairman.
About each one of my patients, my personal cell number.
Madam Chairman, this is out of order.
Yeah, sir.
We move this case to formal. Thank you.
And I think some of the people here have.
Sure. We have.
You were talking about my life. You're talking about.
A second, Dr. Myers.
Oh, geez.
We have. Excuse me. We've been in this issue for a long time. We've reached out a lot. So Dr. Myers, we had a motion from Dr. Bohansky to proceed to, I think you said, Dr. Bohansky, correct me if I'm wrong, to proceed to a formal hearing. Then Dr. Myers, you had a comment or a, oh, I'm sorry. I thought I heard somebody.
Dr. Davey seconded.
Davey, yes. I thought it was Dr. Myers that made the motion. This is Dr. Davey. I'll second that motion and let's go to a formal hearing.
All right. So we have a motion and a second. Is there any deliberation?
We do need a roll call.
We need a roll call vote. Ms. Poe?
Yes, Madam Chair. Ms. Shreve?
Yes.
Dr. Davis-Wilson?
Yes.
Dr. Flowers?
Yes.
Dr. Bohansky?
Yes.
Dr. Davey?
Yes.
Dr. Gill?
Yes.
Dr. Meyer?
Yes.
Dr. Malott?
Yes.
Motion is unanimous. Motion carries.
Thank you. You will be notified. You'll be, you'll be notified by our board on what the next steps will be. We appreciate you being here today at our meeting.
Just as a quick follow-up question, when you say a formal hearing, is that the public administrative hearing scenario? Or is that something different than that?
It'll be before the Office of Administrative Hearings.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Our next item on the agenda is discussion, consideration, and possible action item number 9 relating to the results of fitness for duty evaluation completed.
Madam Chair, sorry, can I interject? We do have other parties in the call that would very much like if we could move to item 16.
16, okay.
This is the matter concerning Dr. Tyler Whitney.
Yes, discussion possible action regarding applicant Tyler Whitney, proposed settlement of license denial action. Go ahead, Executive Director, if you'd like to provide a summary.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On October 4th, 2019, the board voted to deny the license application of Dr. Whitney. Given his disciplinary history in two other states, specifically surrendering his Idaho license while under investigation for patient billing irregularities and for failing to report that discipline to the Georgia board. The Georgia board ultimately did place Dr. Whitney, did discipline his license. Dr. Whitney was sent notice of this board's denial on January 2nd, 2020. On January 28th, board staff was notified of Dr. Whitney's intent to appeal the denial. The parties then agreed to waive the 60-day requirement to conduct this hearing. Dr. Whitney has been residing and practicing in Georgia, and he had indicated there was no immediate need to pursue this matter while his attorney prepared for this case. On April 14th, Dr. Whitney's attorney spoke with Ms. Galvin and board staff to discuss whether the board would entertain a possible settlement conference in lieu of going to formal hearing for the denial. And on May 28th, the board received what is Dr. Whitney's proposed settlement terms. Both Dr. Whitney and his attorneys are present, I see. And as this is a contested matter, we have arranged for Mark Harris, Assistant Attorney General, to be our independent advisor to the board, and he is with us as well.
Mr. Harris, thank you. Thank you for being with us today and representing us legally. Mr. Whitney, are you on the phone?
I am.
Is your legal representative on the phone?
I believe they both are. I believe Mark Harrison and Travis Hunt are both present.
Yes,
sir.
Mr. Harrison?
Yes, we're both here. Mr. Hunt and I are both here.
Mr. Hunt, great. All right, thank you. Would you like to start out with you or your attorney with the opening some comments?
I'll defer to my attorneys, yeah, of course.
All right, thank you. Mr. Harrison?
I'll go ahead. Yeah. This is Travis Hunt. You can't see me, but can you hear me?
We can hear you. Yeah, thank you.
So just to give, you know, we provided some context to the board in the letter that we submitted a few weeks ago, but just to give a little bit of background on this matter, Dr. Whitney, based on bad advice of counsel in Idaho, surrendered his license and did not consider that to be an action against his license because he did not agree to or, you know, admit any of the alleged wrongdoings associated with that. And we provided context on the billing issues in Idaho, which, to be clear, it was issues related to practitioners within Dr. Whitney's office not being in network for Blue Cross Blue Shield. And Dr. Whitney underwent two audits. After the first audit, corrected as much as could be possibly corrected within a few months of Blue Cross Blue Shield auditing again. He entered into a settlement with Blue Cross Blue Shield and paid back all the money owing under the terms of that settlement. He continued to collect, accept other insurance while he was in Idaho. And for, you know, some amount of time before that, was considering moving his practice to a different state. And originally considered going to the CDC in Atlanta, in Georgia. And that, you know, then at some time later decided to go into private practice and be affiliated with Emory University and the medical school there. And while he was doing that is when he realized, when he learned that the board in Idaho would be considering potential disciplinary action against him and his license. So he was having to...
The board in Georgia.
Sorry, in Georgia. Thank you for correcting me. The board in Tyler, I'm talking about while you were in Georgia, the board in Idaho was considering...
Oh, that's correct. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so the board in Idaho was considering going forward with disciplinary action. The problem, I mean, part of the issue there was that he was having to defend himself remotely, and there were attorneys in Idaho who he had consulted with who advised him that it would be, for whatever reason, advisable for him to just surrender his license, and which is what he followed their advice and what he did. Not knowing the requirements in Georgia or Utah, where he was also licensed, to report that. The board in both boards in Georgia and Utah were apprised of the failure to report. Dr. Whitney underwent 90 days of suspension and 1 year probation and six hours of CE in Georgia. He was issued a public reprimand in Utah, and he fully complied with all the requirements of the boards in both jurisdictions. And in his mind, and I think from, you know, our perspective, from an outside perspective, resolved this matter in both jurisdictions to the satisfaction of the boards in both jurisdictions. And he is now currently practicing with a license that is unrestricted in Georgia. This matter has come before this board a few different times, in that Dr. Whitney first applied in 2017, and Tyler, you're gonna have to correct me if I get the timeline wrong here at all. But he was advised to reapply a few times to pass the ETPP, eventually did so. And when his license was cleared in Georgia, around the same time that it was cleared, reapplied to this board, and then this board denied. The denial is not, from again, an outside perspective, extremely clear, and specifically does not provide the measures that the board would accept as satisfactory to show that he has cleared his license in Georgia and Utah. And from, you know, his perspective, there really is nothing else that he can do in either of those jurisdictions. There is an Arizona statute, as you know, that allows the board to consider conduct in other jurisdictions. But if the applicant satisfies the board that that conduct has been resolved, then the board may still admit the license, the applicant, to have a license. And none of that information, you know, what Dr. Whitney would have been required to show was ever specified to him throughout the process of him applying and the appearances before the board. So we really are asking only that the board consider whether there would be some appropriate settlement of this matter, so we don't have to waste the board's resources with an appeal. And what we would like the board to consider, and what we've submitted, is the possibility of Dr. Whitney being admitted on a temporary and restricted license, in that he would be willing to, accept reasonable monitoring of his license for whatever period of time the board feels appropriate, within reason, and has suggested that, 6 months to a year of having a monitor come in and review his bills, because that appears to be, the underlying issue in Idaho that is, based on our review of the record, appears to be what has stood out most to the board. So have someone come in and review that periodically, again, on a reasonable time frame, potentially one month, on a monthly basis, up to 6 months or a year. And then, if the board would like Dr. Whitney to undertake any CE, he'd be willing to consider that as well. He has taken an ethics course, and we submitted documentation of that. I believe in late 2018 is when he took that course in Arizona. He was, has been required in Georgia to maintain CE there as well. So that's what we would like the board to consider. That's the, obviously we are more than willing and happy to get the board's input into anything else the board would think is reasonable under these circumstances. But in talking to Mark Harrison, my colleague, this situation is unique because this is a psychologist who has cleared his license. I mean, this is not a psychologist who has unresolved matters in other jurisdictions. He's cleared his license. He has done what the Georgia board and the Utah board have required of him, and is currently practicing in Georgia, has a robust and busy practice there. There's never been a question about his competence, his ability to practice. He's had, unfortunately, he's learned a lot about reporting requirements throughout this entire process, and is more than willing to do whatever needs to be done along those lines and, within a reasonable realm to resolve this matter. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hunt, for your comments. Board members, do you have any questions for Dr. Whitney? I do, Dr. Whitney. What have you learned through all these situations?
Well, the one thing, that stands out to me is that dealing with a psychology board and dealing with your license is a very serious matter. I've always been timely in dealing with it. I would rely more on resources around me, having been primarily in private practice and having been an adjunct professor and whatnot. I've learned to use my resources from institutions and have taken a lot more time to align myself with state and federal guidelines as far as my entire practice. I believe that I am much better administratively than I have been. And I believe that I understand the billing issues very, very well, which has served me well going into the COVID-19 remote issues, the 95 modifiers, and so on and so forth.
Because, you know, billing, is, I mean, psychology in itself is an important aspect, but billing obviously is too, right? In the sense that it's people's, you know, money.
No question.
You're dealing with companies. There could be a misunderstanding of it was intentional or not. So how would you ensure that that doesn't occur again?
Well, I think as my counsel said, I'd be willing to have somebody look at it. And I'm that confident that I've learned enough that people would find the way that I want run my practice now is much more secure than it was before. I just wasn't following up and monitoring the billing that was being done by other people in my office. I do my own billing now. I am responsible for everything that goes to anybody. So, you know, it's co-signed, if not signed directly by me every single time. And so it just makes it much simpler now, rather than saying, okay, here's my billing sheet, my billers, go ahead and bill this. And I just wasn't following up. I needed to be following up and having oversight so I could correct that billing. And I'm not sure at that time if I would have had the knowledge that I have now about what it has to look like. But I believe now I'm much more competent in that area.
All right, thank you. Other board members, any questions?
This is Dr. Malott. In the past, when we've had this situation, you know, we could put, we could issue a license and put Dr. On probation for a year, where he meets with somebody maybe once a month or something, and they review his billing records and, you know, just general matters. And then if we get a clean bill after that, he could be issued a full license.
Yeah.
Something. I think that's what I heard the attorney say as well, you know.
Yes, that's that. To be clear, that is what Dr. Whitney is proposing.
It appears that the concerns have been more on the financial end, not on the service end, per se. Are any other members?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Dr. Flowers?
Yes. It's been a few months since we reviewed Dr. Whitney's application. As I recall, I made a motion that it be approved, but there wasn't enough other board members to do that that agreed with me, and it was denied. But I am impressed by his persistence in seeking licensure. Even though he's already been licensed in other jurisdictions for quite a while, he was able to go back and successfully pass the ECCC in 2019. And he's apparently served
17
well.
Years. I'm sorry, Dr. Flowers, it was 17 years post the first time I took it.
Okay, which is, I'm just happy to say that years ago I passed it. I don't think I want to take it again, but it shows persistence. I was concerned about how we handled the complaint in Idaho and how we just kind of walked away. I think it's much better if somebody goes to the board, goes through the process, and handles the issues, maintains licensure. He didn't do that, and as a consequence, he decided to surrender his license, and then he didn't tell about his mistakes to other jurisdictions. But even though he was chastised by those jurisdictions, he's been able to have unrestricted licenses in both of those jurisdictions now. So I don't feel that he'd pose a threat to the public, and I would support him being given a license in Arizona as a psychologist. Certainly if there's discomfort by board members that supervision is needed in regards to billing, it sounds as if he would be willing to comply with that if that were part of being granted a licensure. But that's my input.
And again, not to speak for you, Tyler, you're more than willing to, you can speak in if you'd like to. But yes, that's exactly what he's saying. He's willing to submit to supervision of billing if that's what the board is interested in him doing.
And I came back just so the board knows, because I do believe the board has a right to, you know, with the jurisdiction actions, I do believe the board has a right to say, you know, who is this guy and what does he bring to Arizona? And I'd be happy to show you.
So, you know, I'd like to make a motion that we kind of approve Dr. Whitney's license with the stipulation that he be put, that we do a consent order where he's on probation for a year, and maybe he can come back in 6 months, but, and that he get a supervisor who he meets with to discuss billing records and other professional issues. I think the second issue that came up at the other two boards was that he failed to report, and that's a serious matter too. You know, it's not just, first it was billing, but then he didn't tell the next board, and then he didn't tell the next board about the problems in the previous board.
And it was actually a lack of understanding, and as soon as I did understand, I clearly acknowledge that, and I take full responsibility.
You acknowledged to our board, which showed that you had learned, but, you know, just having a supervisor to kind of review things and professional issues will really help you in the long run to stay out of trouble, because you don't want to come before board again.
Ever.
So.
This is Dr. Meyer. If we do a consent order, does that count as...
That was going to be my question, Dr. Meyer. I didn't want to have any more action against my license.
Right.
Is there a way to do it so that I'm not shown as denied that kind of thing?
You wouldn't be denied.
Go ahead, Dr. Moore.
No, it wouldn't be a denial. So, but you're right. Any kind of probation is reported to the National Clearinghouse. So,
perhaps like a temporary...
Dr. Bob,
is there some way to... Go ahead, Dr. Bahansky.
In the spirit of universal licensure, and in the fact that he has demonstrated his consistency and willingness to be supervised, I think it's not our job to start people off under supervision. It's our job to license qualified people. He's demonstrated his qualification. I move that we license him.
And I second.
And Madam Chair, members of the board, if I may, my understanding of the motion is that we are going to rescind our, I believe it's the board's October 4th decision to deny Dr. Whitney his license, and go ahead and issue him a license, an unconditional license. Is that correct?
The first motion was Dr. Malott's.
Fair enough. That's a good point. So maybe we can get some clarification on which motion you would like to get a second and move forward. And then I can...
There was a second on my motion, but I don't know if the second was invited.
Well, I would second that.
Okay.
Madam Chair, you're muted.
And Madam Chair, members of the board, if I may then just to clarify Dr. Malott's motion, that was to offer Dr. Whitney a consent agreement to the issuance of the license for the reasons set forth in your January 2nd letter of denial. And that the terms of probation would be to place his license on probation for a period of 12 months. There was some discussion between hiring a supervisor and or a practice monitor. I'm not sure which, if they're one the same or if we need to be more specific. And then if we could provide some parameters for that practice monitor.
Mr. Harris, this is Travis Hunt, attorney for Dr. Whitney. Can I ask a question, a clarifying question?
I'll defer to the chair at this point.
Go ahead, you can ask Mr. Harris a question.
Thank you. So it seemed to me that Dr. Malott had talked about doing a consent agreement, but that Dr. Meyer asked about whether or not it could be a temporary license with restrictions. I think that, given all the discussion that the board has had, my client would certainly prefer a temporary license with restrictions if that is possible.
We don't have that option.
Yeah, okay. I don't believe so. And of course, at any time, and I should have said this initially, Madam Chair, members of the board, you may at some point before moving forward and voting, ask if the state has anything that they would like to share with the board.
Yeah, do you have anything you'd like to share?
Not at this time.
Not at this time, all right, thank you.
My question would be, can we do some form of monitoring without it being a reported action from the board?
Madam Chair, members of the board, that would not be possible. We just don't have the statutory authority in which to do that. The only non-disciplinary actions that would be available would be continuing education and or letters of concern.
I retract my second.
I would forward my.
Okay, I can go ahead and retract modify my motion that we go ahead, issue a license with a letter of concern, because I do want something on record before we issue a license to document that we've done due diligence, especially when we license a new psychologist who has had three previous histories of complaint. Now we do a letter of concern. The letter of concern is that we just it's almost like a warning that Dr. Whitney, adheres to the Arizona statutes and rules and stays familiar with that and continuing education. So he provides the best possible care to Arizona citizens. So that's my motion.
Second.
All right, so we have a motion to approve the license with a accompanying letter of concern addressing the issues. Just highlighting, any thoughts on that? We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
And Madam Chair, members of the board, before we vote, I think what I'm hearing is that the board is going to move to rescind their October 4th vote to deny the application for licensure and approve the application subject to the issuance of a non-disciplinary letter of concern.
Mr. Harris, do we need to vote separately to rescind the license?
I think that would make it cleaner if the board doesn't mind.
Okay. We're voting then to, what's the wording there?
To rescind your October 4th, 2019 motion to deny Dr. Whitney's application for licensure for unprofessional conduct.
So that's my motion, what Mr. Harris just said. Is there a second?
Second.
We had a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Hearing none. The next motion is to provide Ms. Dr. Whitney with a license, approve a license, and also provide a letter of concern regarding the concerns that were raised in today's meeting and past history.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
We also need to indicate like hours of CUs or anything like that specifically, or just recommend that he do it.
We could do CEUs in a letter of concern, Mr. Harris, is that correct?
Well, you could do it in a non-disciplinary order.
Okay, so would we be comfortable, and I would agree, maybe we do the CEs. I think that would kind of go along with Dr. Malott's concern of, hey, we acknowledge that there was a problem in this and the individual we feel has done a lot to better himself and to be a good psychologist and a quasi accountant or financing, but that we would like to see some CEs. Is there any thoughts from the other board members on that? Do we feel that would be important or not?
I think it is, but I think we need to just see how many hours.
How many hours would you suggest?
You know what, I would really be interested that we don't have a specific CELS, Arizona Psychological Associate, that Dr. Whitney become really familiar with Arizona state statutes, because we have some, you know, each state has different statutes and rules, and you can get in trouble if you're not familiar with that.
So is that a CE credit, Dr. Malott? Is that class?
I don't know if there's any specific CEs on that.
There are not. We had talked before, and Dr. Bohansky had indicated that there is not a jurisprudence exam, but since the time that Dr. Bohansky reminded me of my need to know the Arizona state statutes, I have looked at them a considerable amount of time.
You know, Dr. Whitney has to do the required number for Arizona. So, you know, every 2 years, I don't know. I mean, to me, it just seems like we're just adding, you know, the letter of concern in itself is enough for me, so.
Didn't he complete CEs for the previous boards?
I did. I did. For Georgia, I completed the trust ethics course that was a full day, 6 hour course that was done in Arizona in anticipation of licensing there.
Yeah. I'm okay with just the letter.
Yeah. All right, so.
That was my motion.
I don't think there's a motion then, so can I have a motion?
There is.
We were just wondering about the CE being added, so.
Okay. So is there a second to the motion?
Second.
All right, so we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none. Dr. Whitley, welcome to Arizona.
Thank you so much.
We wish you the best. And again, it's so important to understand the Arizona laws, because each state has a, you know, it's slightly different.
Absolutely.
All right. All right. We're going to move on. And just for information, this has been a long day, and I really appreciate everybody. We're just going to take one more item, and the other items can then be moved to a different meeting. We're going to go on to item number 9, discussion, consideration, and possible action relating to the results of fitness for duty evaluation completed by Dr. Rachel Barry Wagner in accordance with her December 13th 2020 interim consent agreement. Ms. Michelson, would you like to provide an update?
Yes, Madam Chair and board members. I will try to make this as brief as possible, and I do have an update to provide at the end. I'm just giving a brief overview. On October 23rd of 2019, the board voted to summarily suspend Dr. Wagner's license after considering all of the evidence and determining that emergency action is necessary in order to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the public. Following this, on December 13th of 2019, Dr. Wagner entered into an interim consent agreement, an order for voluntary suspension of license, in lieu of proceeding to a formal hearing before OLA. The consent agreement and order stipulated that Dr. Wagner's license would remain suspended and that she shall complete a fitness for duty eval with one of the listed providers within 90 days of the effective date of that order. Dr. Wagner subsequently completed the evaluation within the required time frame. The board office received the evaluator's report in February, which is included in my memo to the board. In the report, the evaluator opined that Dr. Wagner is not fit to return to practice and recommended further testing. The evaluator's report was forwarded to Dr. Wagner for her records. After receiving this report, she did reach out to me, indicating that she wanted to surrender her license at this time, as she no longer intended to practice psychology in the future. And did not want to proceed with this process. A proposed consent agreement for voluntary surrender was sent to Dr. Wagner for her consideration. Upon reviewing that agreement, she relayed that she had changed her mind, as she may want to practice psychology in the future and would decline to sign the agreement. This matter was initially scheduled for the board meeting on March 13th so that the members could review the results of the evaluation and determine what course of action would be appropriate. Dr. Wagner was not present for that meeting despite being properly noticed. I did call her during the meeting, and she indicated that she was too ill to participate and requested a continuance, which the board approved at that time. The matter was then rescheduled for review at the meeting on April 15th. On the morning of that meeting, she indicated that she was still ill and requested another continuance, which the board approved. She was noticed of today's meeting, and at 7:33 this morning, I did receive an email from Dr. Wagner. I uploaded this email to the member portal, and in it, she indicates that she would like for me to relay to the board members that she has made the decision to retire at this time, as she believes that it would be very difficult to find a position in the field and that the possibility of a private practice seems unlikely due to the issues that she has faced. Dr. Wagner added that she decided to write this email just before the morning today because it took a long time for her to deliberate and weigh the pros and cons of going through this process. She does appreciate that the board delayed the review of her case previously as she was very ill. Given that Dr. Wagner has a pending unresolved complaint before the board, she cannot retire her license as she indicated in her email. The board does have a few different options in this matter. The board can certainly table the matter and would give staff and legal counsel the opportunity to work with Dr. Wagner in reaching a solution in this matter. For example, a consent agreement to surrender her license. Another option available to the board is that they can accept the evaluator's report and issue an interim order for her to comply with the recommendations for additional testing. And if Dr. Wagner did not comply with that interim order, then the matter would be moved to a formal hearing for revocation. The board may wish to consult with Ms. Galvin regarding potential options today, and that includes my summary.
Thank you for the summary. Board members, first of all, she doesn't have a representative here at the meeting either. I just want to check.
That's correct. She's not represented, and it appeared from her email that she was choosing not to attend today as well, and I do not believe she is present.
All right. If you are present, please speak up now. I just want to make sure I give my due diligence here. All right, board members, you've heard the summary. What are your thoughts on how to proceed? Comments? We could table it, ask our staff and Ms. Galvin to contact her, work on a consent, see if they can negotiate something, or we can accept the evaluation potentially and ask for additional testing and move forward with that process.
And schedule forward with the revocation hearing.
Well, we're not at that point. We would just at this point accept the evaluation and ask for the additional testing that is recommended in the evaluation.
So if you go with that option two, you accept the evaluation, you issue an interim order for those additional tests that the evaluator recommended, and if she doesn't comply with that interim order in a timely manner, then you would automatically move that to formal hearing for revocation. That would be part of your motion. If you go to option one, where you order myself and the staff to offer her a consent agreement for the voluntary surrender of her license because she said she wants to retire it. If she will voluntarily surrender it, it can be done. If you tell us to offer her that consent agreement and give us, 2 weeks and she doesn't sign it, then we can automatically go to formal hearing if that's part of your motion.
That'll be my motion. Thank you.
Okay, you want to offer her a consent agreement for voluntary surrender, and if she doesn't accept it, go to formal hearing.
Yes.
I second.
You want to give her an opportunity to comply with the evaluator's recommendations or no?
Yes.
Okay, so I think that then that's option number two. I would need a motion to accept the evaluator's findings or offer or order an interim order to have her complete the additional examinations.
So
and if she does, yes, and if she doesn't comply, automatically refer it to formal hearing.
So yeah. Moved.
So moved. Okay. Is there a second with that?
I second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Just in discussions, I think that's the fair way to go. I think you offer her the opportunity to follow, do the extra testing. If she doesn't, it's a decision point, and then it goes to the formal hearing. Anyone else? Concerns? Comments? All right, all in favor?
I need a roll call, please, because that involves potential discipline.
All right, Ms. Poe?
Yes, Chairman Shreve. Ms. Shreve?
Yes.
Dr. Davis-Wilson?
Yes.
Dr. Flowers?
Yes.
Dr. Bohansky?
Yes.
Dr. Davey?
Yes.
Dr. Gill?
Yes.
Dr. Meyer?
Yes.
Dr. Malott? Dr. Malott?
Yes.
Motion is unanimous. Motion carries.
Thank you. All right. We had three more items, but I'm just going, it's almost 4 o'clock. I'm just going to, these are items that can be moved forward. There's nothing that needs to be done right now for them. Unless somebody wants to argue with me and suggest we stay longer, I want to be a chair that listens to everybody. But other than that, I can't even thank you enough for how long this has been today and how you guys all stick in there. And I know we've read thousands of pages, and thank you for that. And also, board members, you guys rock. You keep us, at least for me, I mean, you really keep me informed, and you do such a great job of running the whole administrative part. And Ms. Galvin, thank you so much. You're the best. You know, appreciate all your legal advice. With that,
Madam Chair, I wanted to know item number 17. Can that one be delayed?
We did that.
We did it. Okay, yep. I guess with all the stuff, I just.
I know. Your head starts spinning.
It's good to check.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, that's right. Okay, now the memory floods back in. Thank you.
I'd rather have someone ask than not say something. So is there a motion to adjourn?
I shall move.
Yeah, motion. You got a second?
I'll second.
I got a bunch of seconds. All right. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Thank you, everybody, so much. We'll see you next month.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.